Welcome back to State of the News. I'm Rick Hellett, and we invite you to join our conversation throughout the hour as we talk about the week's events. 502-814-TALK, 502-814-8255, or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. That's 877-814-8255. Well, 4 years ago, Joseph Kurtz was appointed to succeed Thomas Kelly as the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Louisville. And he has hit the ground running since then. There's speculation that he may be in line for a bigger city appointment or even a promotion to cardinal. And joining us to talk about it is Courier-Journal religion writer Peter Smith, who wrote a lengthy profile about the Archbishop earlier this month. Welcome, Peter.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. Well, I guess I should disclose, full disclosure, I grew up and was educated within the Archdiocese of Louisville in Bartstown.
You are not alone.
You too, huh?
Not me, but lots of our listeners here. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. It's a pretty good size archdiocese. Kurtz arrived here 4 years ago, as we mentioned, from he'd been in Knoxville. Now, he's been rather outspoken about the church's position on various social issues, abortion and gay marriage, and most recently involving the hospital merger.
Correct. A lot of eyes are on him these days because once the fine print is finally put together on the hospital merger, it will go to him among others who are approving it. It will go to him and to his counterpart in Lexington, Bishop Ronald Gaynor, to decide whether this meets the definition of a Catholic ministry and to either approve it or not.
And he's been very steadfast about the Catholic teachings and whatnot being followed in this merger.
A lot of the discussion has been on what sort of reproductive services that the merged hospital entity can provide, and there are directives known as the ethical and religious directives for Catholic healthcare, and he has been very firm in saying that these rules need to be applied to the merged entity.
How has Archbishop Kurtz been received here in the community?
Well, he certainly has been very active. He has made himself involved in virtually every area of the archdiocese, keeps a very busy schedule, has a very likable personality, is received well. He certainly is very firm about following church procedures, whether from the Vatican or the Conference of Bishops, and he has been very steadfast at that, at the same time as being, you know, very much out with the people, gregarious, you know.
Now, he's 65 years old, and most of us would be thinking about retirement at that age,
right.
But as you write in your piece, some of his biggest opportunities or challenges may still be ahead of him.
It's interesting at an age like that he as often is described as a comer, as someone who is seen with as having potential. Well, last year, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops elected him as its vice president. And a lot of that, certainly he's been very active for years in the conference in a number of different areas. His colleagues know him well, but I think it's worth noting the vote came one day after he gave a very impassioned speech that sort of was the wrapping up of his role on a task force on marriage. And he was very outspoken in defending the church position against same-sex marriage, speaking out against referendums around the country, and even contributing funds in some cases against ballot initiatives or other measures to promote same-sex marriage.
Someone used the term, I don't think it was your term, but somebody in your article used the term smiling conservative.
Right.
What does that mean?
Well, it's in contrast to some other bishops who may be viewed as a little more hard-edged, a little more ready to pick a fight publicly, particularly with politicians who dissent, Catholic politicians who dissent with church teaching on abortion. Someone who's viewed in that camp is Charles Chaput, who was Archbishop of Denver. There was recently an opening with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and Archbishop Kurtz was among those considered a leading candidate, particularly since he is a Pennsylvania native. And that's often considered a position that where the Archbishop goes on to be named a cardinal as well. As it turned out, that position went to Archbishop Chaput. At the same time, of course, Kurtz himself was elected vice president, and the next leading vote getter was Archbishop Chaput. So it seems as though both types of bishops are If they are considered solidly or conservative, they are doing well within the church.
And you mentioned the possibility of Archbishop Kurtz being named the Archbishop of Chicago, which was 2.3 million members, huge archdiocese, possibly even being promoted to cardinal. What's he have to say about all this?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah. If you ask him about other things, including, you know, why he might have been appointed, elected vice president of the USCCB, he'll comment. He'll say, well, you know, maybe it's because I'm very interested in public policy. My colleagues know that. And, you know, certainly that he's been out and about on these issues. But when you ask him, what about speculation about Philadelphia, about Chicago, about Baltimore, he'll not want to comment on that.
And it's not unusual for someone of his age to or archbishops to move around, even though at age 75, correct me if I'm wrong, they have to submit a letter to
right.
the Vatican saying that they are ready for retirement.
Right, right. And, you know, no, it's not unusual at all for someone at that age to do that. Yeah.
I want to ask you about something else. We've been talking a lot this week in the news about these Amish men who have been prosecuted in parts of Kentucky for defying a law that requires them to place this bright orange-red safety triangle on their horse-drawn buggies. Why is it do they oppose that symbol being on their buggies?
This is a particular group of Amish known as the Old Order Schwarzentruber, who, unlike most Amish, if you drive around Kentucky, and the Amish population has been growing quite steadily, and you'll see them in a number of counties, and usually you'll see the orange triangle. This particular sect objects to it on really on two grounds. The bright colors. Their modesty code says that they should only wear muted, darker colors, and also the fact that it's even in the shape of a man-made symbol, they believe is putting their trust in something man-made rather than in God, and so they refuse to put it on their buggies. They have a especially significant community in Graves County in far mm-hmm. western Kentucky. They've been cited numerous times by police for not using the emblem, and not only they've fought that, they've been convicted, they've appealed to the circuit court, to the appeals court, to no avail. The courts have ruled the law is the law. As long as it's applied equally to everyone, you don't get a break because you say a particular law violates your religion. And now they're trying to appeal to the Supreme Court. We don't know if the Supreme Court is even going to hear their case. And the judge in Graves County said, all right, we've waited 3 years. It's long enough. She said, here's your time to pay your fine. They refused to pay. So they spent a few nights in jail, depending on how severe their fines were. And now they've got more cases. Two more were on trial the other day. There are more cases in November, more in December. So at this point, it seems to be it's going to be a long-running story.
There's been a bit of irony that at some of these jails, well, at most jails, I guess they wear these orange jumpsuits, but they accommodated these gentlemen and gave them a different color.
They did, specially ordered.
That's interesting. So possibly in the Kentucky Supreme Court, but still hard to tell yet. All right. Peter Smith writes about religion for the Courier-Journal. Peter, thanks again for joining us.
Happy to be here.